Blog Talk Radio.
It's showtime!
Great greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show, a show about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate, voice your concerns, voice your opinion, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which is inclusion into society, which is living more independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Raisin, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is, increase your network, and you'll increase your net worth. And behind microphone number two is our hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Again, welcome to you, our listening audience. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Although I've been blind for more than 55 years, when I was a mere lad at 13 years old, on 4th of July, a cherry bomb, a big firecracker, exploded in my face and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings, and how are you today, Ms. Renee?
Reverend Ray, we are already the first week in February. I can't believe time is flying this fast. I haven't finished putting all my Christmas decorations away yet.
I know, and they had a notice on the door telling you, that's a family thing. Okay, yes, I know what you mean. But, you know, Ms. Renee, for me, two bad things have happened this week for me. Two bad things. One, what's the name of that gopher, whoever he comes out and see his shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, so he came out and saw his shadow and went back in, so we got six more weeks of bad weather. And I guess some of those people are feeling it down south and west or wherever. And the second bad thing was the Washington football team named their team
The Commanders.
Now, I don't know if that means they're going to be commanding things. Right now, I guess the owner can't command anything. Well, anyway. And so I didn't even know what logo would represent that. Have you seen these uniforms? Even the players said they didn't like some of the uniforms. I think they got one uniform all white. I think they got one burgundy and something. Some people said they like that. And then it's black. Uniform. People have been like scratching their heads about that. But have you seen any of the new uniform, the new gear, as they call it?
I've seen some of it. Some that I've seen, I like. I still have to get with the name. I think there's been a lot of reaction on social media. A lot of people don't care for it. But you know, that's something that's been in place for all of those years. It's hard to get used to a new name. I wanted them to keep Washington football team. I think that was just enough. But anyway, we shall see. I don't think the name is what's so much important as if we get a team that can play and win. They can play, but
yeah,
they
well,
need to be able to win.
Well, the name will go a long way if you say Super Bowl next to the comma. Who is it? The Commandos. Yeah.
Not Commandos, Commanders. There's a difference. One
commander.
Is more militaristic, yes, and well, anyway.
All right. Well, I'm sure this won't be the last we discuss this very important earthquaking topic. But anyway, so Ms. Rutte, what is our lined up for today?
where we always begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Ms. Raven, and then in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the news which affects the disability and senior communities. And we sign off with your call to action, asking people that they can do something in their community. Back over to you.
All righty. So I like to start the show with the adventures of Mr. Ray, and Reverend Ray, and his drummer, and is located up in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And the phone number is 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And that's important because two ways you can get dog food or any other type of food you need for your cat, those little journals that are running around in those little cages that don't go anywhere. They have top pet food for your pet. And you can call them and they will deliver. They was delivering before delivering became vogue because of the pandemic. Or you can go online at the Big Bad Wolf, WOOF, .com, and you can place your order online and they will deliver it to you. And I tell Miss Penny that it's the proprietor that you heard it on, SNV Radio. You might even throw a little something extra in there for your pet. So the adventures. Now, Reverend Ray ain't doing a whole lot of adventuring right now with this COVID because he don't want to take no chance. And you all tuned in on a Friday, and Miss Renee be giving you his funeral arrangements. All right, so Reverend Ray is being very careful on what he's going to attend. But we still get inquiries about things about the animals, and someone sent in about because of the snow and the ice and all, is booties good for the dogs? Now, at CNI, where I received my dog, and I don't know about the other schools, there's about 15 other guide dog schools in the country, and CNI being the oldest, starting in my cycle last year. Last month was their birthday, January the 29th. They started in January 1929, the 29th. But anyway, they're the oldest school, and they issue out booties to your dog, and a couple of things. One, some dogs just totally hate them. And the way some have to walk is kicking their feet out, so sometimes they kick the booties off because they crow. They have this what is it, crow? What is that? They don't tie up like they. What is it?
The
way you
Velcro?
Fasten stuff down. Yeah, Velcro. You have Velcro now. At one time they used to have snaps, and then they had strings, and now they have Velcro. And so sometimes they don't get them tight enough around the dog's feet that they kick them off. Now, some dogs can do well in them, and they don't slide. And they can go in the snow. And then there's others that, you know, they just don't do well with those on. But you have to have your dog walk in them and stuff in the grass or whatever to train them to fit them. Don't wait till it snows and then put it on, because that's not when you want to find out. But if you find out that, you know, you have to go out in this ice, and from Ms. Renee tell me it'd be so much salt and stuff on the ground. So those who do not, and believe it, there's a lot of people that's blind, live alone and have guide dogs. So just to be cautious on the safe side, when you go in, even if you don't know if you walked into this salt and stuff, just take a warm, wet cloth and wipe your dog's paws off very, very thoroughly. And get that salt out of their paws and stuff. You don't want that salt on their pads and all. All right, so that's a tip from the adventures of Reverend Ray and his German Shepherd, seeing that dog, Miss Raven, that dog of wonders. And again, it's brought to you by TheBigBadWolf.com. And you can just go online and order, and they will bring it to you. Back to Ms. Renee and our very special guest for today.
Okay, let's play Jeopardy. What is the season between January and April? Now, if you answered tax season, you are correct. our guest, Yolanda Jerry Rodney of MRS Tax and Refunds to Go, is here decoding the 2,652 pages of tax code. Welcome, Ms. Yolanda.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you doing now? Now, you want to just read that out verbatim to us? No, I'm just kidding. Welcome, Ms. Yolanda. It's been a while, and we have been remiss because people certainly have been asking us about, I need to know about my taxes and all, and even these people ain't got, even the ones ain't got no money. They won't be wanting to know about other people's taxes, when they going to get their tax return. So we're going to be more diligent and having you on more. Our question is, Mr. Thorman Jerry is open all year long when people think only one time you need to file taxes. So we're going to get to those questions. Ms. Renee.
Okay. Well, first, Ms. Yolanda, tell us how you got into your line of work.
Okay. Actually, we are a family business. So after graduating from Hampton University, I came on home, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't know how I wanted to help people. And my dad just said, hey, why don't you let me teach you a couple of things. And so he taught me how to do tax returns by hand, and then we ended up doing them on the computer. And I actually enjoy it. I like helping people. It's a way to help people.
That's a great story. And we can help people in so many ways, and that's what Reverend Ray does when he has his call to action. Okay, so we're going to start with the basics today. Okay, we have our W-2 in our hand. What other documents should we take to our tax preparer?
Okay, so this year, there are a couple of documents that you must take to your tax preparer. So your W-2 or your 1099 retirement income. And then if you receive Social Security benefits, you also want to take that to your tax preparer. You would also like to tell your preparer whether you got the third stimulus. So there is a form that the IRS has sent out to each person to let them know whether they got that third stimulus or not. And then if they had children, they have the advanced child tax credit, which they also need to take that form to their preparer.
Okay, so no, wait. I know that stimulus check letter is called the letter 6475. That income is taxable?
No, it's not taxable. The IRS just wants to make sure that you received it. So what the preparer does is actually they put it in the system, and if you don't give them the letter, if you tell them that you don't get it, you actually get it on your 2021 taxes. So you don't have to worry about, oh, I didn't get it. Then you'll actually get it in your taxes, and they'll give it to you. So it's just to make sure that you either got it or didn't get it.
Okay. Hmm. All right. Okay. Whew. Okay. Okay. So now, what determines? Yeah, I got to pay taxes on that. So what determines whether a person, a taxpayer, should pay the 1040 easy tax form versus itemized?
Okay. So that's the standard deduction or the itemization. The standard deductions for 2021 is for single individuals is $12,550, and if you're married or a qualified widower, then it's $25,100. So if you can itemize over that amount with such things as unreimbursed medical expenses, or if you paid interest on your house, or if you made large contributions, then that may determine whether you should itemize or not.
Now, will a tax preparer do an easy form for a taxpayer?
Yes, they will, yes. A tax preparer is... when you come into their office, after they interview you, they will in their head go through a list and figure out which one is better for the taxpayer, whether going the standard deduction or whether going itemizing. So most of the country right now, because of the high standard deduction, is going the standard deduction.
Now, so you said that when you come in based on what they say, so will the tax preparer ask questions to help them know what is deductible and which is the better filing option for them?
Yes. So as we're talking, as we're entering information into the computer, your preparer is listening to you talk, and they're asking you questions to kind of see where they need to ask you questions to see what can help you decide or help them decide whether you need to itemize. So if you say you've been in the hospital and you had a lot of medical expenses, then maybe they'll go that
way. Mr. Long, let me stop you there because we're going to get ready to go through a break. When we hear that music, that means Reverend Ray got to go in his pocket and pay people like Ms. Renee and them where they can pay their taxes. Where they can pay their taxes.
I got you.
All right. So Mr. Ray got the Reverend Ray got to pay some bills. So we're going to be back on the other side when you can finish explaining to us about these taxes. All right, Mr. Ray, take it away.
For you are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And back over to our tax expert and Reverend Ray. You can pay me more so I can pay more taxes.
So go ahead, Ms. Yolanda, finish up with what you were saying.
So, yes, as with the interview process that the preparer will do, they will ask you a series of questions that helps them determine whether you should go itemized, deductible, or standard deduction.
Okay. Well, let me ask this question. Given the last couple of years and COVID, and I'm not going to say what category, but what have, as a tax preparer and your comp seen change overall with the economy?
When COVID first started out, a lot of people had to pull money out of retirement accounts because they either lost their job or stuff like that. So the IRS did.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear me, but I have lost audio.
We hear you now.
Yes, we hear you.
Mr. Knight?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Renee?
I have lost my audio.
We can hear her, but she can't hear us.
Yeah.
Huh. Ms. Renee? Okay, well, she'll get back on. But hopefully she'll call in on some number. All right, so
you say it. I'm sorry, I lost audio. What did I miss?
I told her don't say anything. That way I can deduct from your pay. I can make a deduction from your pay I was hoping a few more minutes that I could do a whole hour, but I can only deduct 15 minutes or 20. But anyway, so she had just started with telling me what impact COVID has had on people, and she was saying they was drawing money. But go ahead, how did they save it?
Okay.
Go ahead, Ms. Yolanda.
Okay. Yeah, so with the impact of COVID, a lot of people, as you may know, have lost jobs and they weren't working. So a lot of people took money out of their 401ks or retirement accounts. Now, normally that money is taxable in the year that you took it out, but with the COVID relief package, you're able to break up the money that you pulled out. If it was for COVID reasons, you're able to pay taxes on it in three-year increments. So you'll pay one-third of it in 2020, one-third in 2021, and then one-third in 2022.
Wow, I didn't realize.
But they still, but they still want to get that money though, huh? They ain't had no COVID relief forgiveness or nothing, huh?
No COVID relief forgiveness. But they did other things like the advanced child tax credit if people had children, and they got additional money than they normally would. The normal child tax credit, it went up to $3,000 per child as opposed to the $2,000 per child. So it did go up, so it helped the families with that. And then they got an advance payment on it. So they were able to get some money up front. But, again, they must bring that letter with them to get their taxes done because you have to reconcile the account.
Okay, but that wasn't But that tax credit for children wasn't enough to induce me and Miss Renee having another child, all right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. One more thing that they did that I think is important is, especially for your listeners, anyone who's age 65 or older, if you're working, normally you wouldn't be entitled to the earned income credit because the cutoff age is 65. But during the COVID relief package, they have extended it, so there is no limitation on the age. So if you're over 65 and you're working and you only make a little bit of money, you might be entitled to some earned income credit.
Oh, really?
That's over 65.
I have to check into that.
Yes, over 65. But your income has to be, you know, you have to have a, it's for low-income individuals. So if you're not making that much at, like, maybe a little job, a little part-time job, and that's all mm-hmm. the only other income you have is Social Security, you might be entitled to the earned income credit.
Huh. Okay.
Anything specific in regards to person with disability? I heard you say older individual, over 65, senior. Anything
right.
specific in terms of person with disability?
For disability, it's always been on there, but the standard deduction, like I told you earlier, was $12,550 or $25,100 for married felon jointly. Well, you get an extra deduction if you're blind. You get an extra $1,350 for blind and also an extra $1,350 if you're over age 65. So, again, it makes that, when you're having that conversation with your preparer, whether you take the standard deduction or itemized, those are some of the factors that also go into play.
Okay. Ms. Burnett.
Okay. Now, in researching for this interview, I was dumbstruck that taxes have to be paid on unemployment, gambling, alimony, and scholarship money that is used for anything other than tuition. Is that accurate?
It's a little bit accurate. So,
okay.
So yes, gambling, yes. Unemployment, yes, in 2021. In 2020, they actually gave you a credit up. You didn't actually credit up to $10,200 was not taxable, but anything over was. But now back in 2021, it is taxable. Alimony is not taxable if you're getting alimony after, I believe it's 2018. Anything after 2018, you don't have to pay taxes on alimony. Anything before then, you still have to pay taxes on it. And then, if you have money from college that you're getting back, then yes, that is all.
So you're saying all them brothers that owe that back alimony up to 18, they still
got
to pay taxes?
Well, if your agreement was put in place before the rule changed, then it's still taxable. You still get the deduction if you're paying it, and if you're getting it, you still have to make it taxable.
Okay. We cool, right, Ms. Renee? We cool, right?
Now, a lot of us received end-of-the-year giving statements from our church or our mosque. Hmm. Is that money deductible?
It is deductible. Now, again, we're talking about COVID and the pandemic, so there are some things that you can do now that you didn't used to be able to do. So normally you have to itemize in order to write off charitable contributions to churches and mosques. In 2020 and 2021, you get an above-the-line deduction where you, if married filing joint, you can get up to $600 for your charitable contribution and $300 if you're single. So that's new. You can do it without having to itemize at all.
Wait a minute. If a church wants 10% of your money, I mean, ain't nobody making $6,000 or $3,000 to give. These people are making, you know, so that's all you can deduct from your 10% tithes every month, huh?
Yes, if you don't itemize, the most you can deduct is $300 if you're single, and $600 if you're married to Ellen Joy.
But if you itemize,
which is better than it normally is.
Okay, but if I itemize, I can deduct that $50-some thousand I gave to the church.
Yes.
That I'm the pastor.
Yes.
That I'm the pastor of. Okay.
That you're the pastor of. Well, we may have to have a conversation about that.
Okay.
Well,
I'll make an appointment. Okay, Ms.
Well, we keep referring to the pandemic. A lot of people have started home-based businesses during the pandemic, and some are working in the gig economy. Now, we used to call it a hustle, but now, you know, we're gig economy. Now, is that money taxable?
Yes. That is taxable money. So if you're if you start a home-based business, or you are Uber driver or Uber Eats or any other gig work that you're doing, that money is taxable. All of it is. Now, you are able to write off expenses for the money that you made. So maybe not all of it will become taxable at the end of the day.
But what you're saying, you have to keep good records, though, on this stuff.
Yes, you have to keep good records. You have to keep your good records, how much you made, how much your expenses were. What were your expenses if you're driving your vehicle? How many miles was it to get to the location that you were doing for your particular job that you were doing? So there's a lot of things that are deductible, but you must keep excellent records.
Okay, so if somebody is doing the gig economy, can they write off depreciation on their car, et cetera?
Yes, it depends. So there's two types of deductions you can do for a vehicle if you're using it for your business. You can do the standard mileage rate, which is 55 cents per mile. I believe it went up to 56 cents per mile for 2021. And then also, or you can do the actual expenses where you take the depreciation of the vehicle and your actual gas and your actual repairs. And so it's based on the mileage that you use for business versus your personal mile. So when you go to your preparer, you have to be prepared to give them your business mile, your commuting miles, and your personal mile. And then the calculator will calculate what percentage of the vehicle is used for business.
Business, personal, and commuting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, gas at $3 plus a gallon, 55 cents is not much. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, well, they're helping you out a little bit. They're helping you out a little bit.
It helps you out very little bit. Yes, it does. Okay.
You have to buy
I'm
more
just,
food at John's.
Yeah, you get that little bit of a discount. Okay. So we're up against the break, but I want to ask you this question so you can be prepared to answer it on the other side. What should we look for in seeking a tax preparer? What should we look for in seeking a tax preparer? Reverend Ray, you want to give me marching orders?
Yeah, so we're going to go on the other side. And we're going to come back with our guest talking about taxes. And when people hear taxes, all they think is about bad and think about refunds. So we're going to talk a little more about that. But hopefully you'll learn what you need to do for you not to be worried about caught up in taxes and like these football players making all this money and entertainers and stuff and singers and stuff and getting in all kinds of situations, but most of y'all don't have to worry about that because you ain't making that kind of money. So anyway, we're going to be back on the other side with our guest and Ms. Renee will take us to the break.
Okay, well, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. If your dog needs it, they have it. They have door-to-door deliveries in the DMV, so give them a call at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Back over to Reverend Radio Ray and in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
In the news, the good, the bad, the ugly, issues that affect persons with disability and seniors. And it is brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief. In the news, the good. I mean, I don't know how much good is going on with people with disability right now. I guess the best I can say is that most of them are breathing. Now, the bad is that with these tests, these COVID tests that they've been giving out to people to take tests at home now for people that's blind and low vision and having problems, these tests haven't been too good because we didn't have instant situations where because the blind person could not administer the test because you have to read these things and all the things, they have gotten other people to help them and come to find out that the blind person had COVID and gave COVID to the PCA or whoever the people that helped them. So we're getting some back. Yeah, so we're getting some backlash on that. Now, believe it or not, in the beginning of this whole COVID thing, NIH had actually was putting a package together for visually impaired people to be able to administer the COVID test to themselves, but they dropped that program for whatever reason. And so right now, a blind person or low vision person cannot get that test to itself, but because they're starting to get so much unpleasant buzz about people that's helping people that's low vision and blind giving it and catching it themselves, they like, no. So personally at home, I am not telling people that this is happening, and I hope they don't listen to the show today. Okay, so the ugly thing is that medication. You heard the president talk about cancer, and I don't think I have any different cancers, 400 something or 300 something. But the thing is, they do have medication that control, not cure, but can control cancer to a degree and all. But it is so expensive. I mean, the medication for some people can cost as much as $10,000. All right. So who has that kind of money? Not the average person has that kind of money to be able to take that kind of medication. There are some people that just one shot cost them like $1,000. And sometimes they might need two shots. They might need two shots a day, or they might need a shot once a week. Okay, so if you a person of what it very little means, and I don't guess too many people that's, middle class can afford that kind of a cost for medication. So here again, we have to look at our drug system. Now, I understand other countries don't, because they're not a capitalistic country and you can get as much as you can for any product or service. So anyway, that's another show. But that's one of the bad things. So that's in the news, the good, the bad, and the ugly issues that affect persons with disability and seniors. And it is brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, most effective, real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. Back over to you, Mr. Nate, to introduce our special guest with a very proper introduction.
Yes, sir. Well, Benjamin Franklin said, in this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes. And our guest, Yolanda Jerry Rodney of MRS Tax Service and Refunds to Go, can help them get done and get them done right. Okay, so on the other side of the break, I ask you about what should we look for in seeking a tax preparer. Do you have an answer for us?
I think I do.
Okay. So what you want to look for in a good preparer is if you're in a state that has accreditation, you want to make sure that they do have accreditation. Like here in the D.C. area,
Maryland preparers have to have a license from the Board of Taxation for Maryland. You want to have a preparer that is willing to ask you those questions, and it's asking you good, informative questions. You want a preparer that, if they don't have the answer, that they're going to research the answer for you, and then just not going to say, oh, I don't do that, but they're going to research it for you and look for the best solution for you. So we don't always know all the answers because, like you said, the tax book is a huge book, and we don't always know the answers, but we will research the answers and look it up. So most preparers do have a good group of other preparers that they can go to and ask questions. So those are the kind of things that you want to look for. Make sure that the preparer is informative of their information, and if they don't, then they can figure out for you. And then
okay.
They're always getting most preparers will do annual continuing education. So you might want to ask your preparer, did you do your annual CE credits for this year? And that will let you know if they're up to date with all the latest and current information.
Let me ask a question concerning that then. Ms. Yolanda, so you saying no longer you got boo-boo down the street or ray-ray around the corner that's your friend or whatever that's doing the taxes for you on their table and then give them to you. That those days are over with?
Yeah, those days are over with. At least I wouldn't take my taxes to them.
Okay. Huh? Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you see some of my... Yeah, but you usually hear somebody say, oh, well, you know, my friend or my whatever doing my taxes and, you know, at the table and that kind of thing. And then, you know, so that's why I was just wondering that it got so sophisticated now. And as you say, the book have gotten so involved and complicated. It's just not easy for just someone to do your taxes like they used to do. A lot more involved in that now, right? And especially if you own any kind of asset, you really should get somebody who knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah, correct. You want to ask the preparer, do they only do personal or do they do business and personal returns? You want to make sure, like I said, if they're doing their annual CE certification so that they're up to date on all the laws because they change every time the Congress changes their new tax law. And things change constantly in our business.
And let me ask you this, as, you know, as we try to be mindful about, you know, us afterlife, in doing your taxes at a certain age when you get like 60, 70, I mean, you know, like that. Now,
right.
Is it advisable to make that part of doing your taxes that you need to consider, you know, okay, you're getting older, you know, there's some other figures, some other things should be figured into this equation other than just doing your annual taxes and hope to get a refund. Can your tax prepare help you with getting towards that stage in your life that who might have to handle your medical or who might have to handle your share that with us.
So,
what kind of questions should be asked?
So a preparer can, they may be able to give you guidance on who you need to talk to for estate planning. In our community, we're starting to deal with generational wealth and learning what to do when someone passes away because it was never taught to our community what to do when your parents pass away or when your siblings pass away. So, you know, talking to an estate planner can help you do that. They're a great resource to help you figure out wills and trust and estate. A tax preparer will be there to guide you in the returns that need to be filed for someone when they pass away. So there's still obligations that need to be done for the person that has passed away to close their book on their tax history.
Now, that was surprising to me. I did not realize that you had to file a tax for the decedent. And right now, you know, so many of us are losing loved ones that we're sometimes pushed into the role of finishing off a family's estate. We say estate and we think it's something really grand, but just the idea of knowing that you have to file taxes for the deceased was surprising to me. Does that take people by surprise?
Yes, it does take people by surprise if they don't know that they need to do it. So when someone passes away, if they pass away, you know, anytime during the year, you're going to have two returns that need to be filed. One is the final return, so it's their life from that, the beginning of January, until the day that they pass. So all of that is considered their final return. Any income that they may have received is all on that final return. Any income that comes in after death will become an estate return.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Given our community, Black community, we not good with keeping records. So when this happens, if you cannot find the records that these people have not kept, what forbearance do the person have that's the administrator of the state or whatever to be able to recreate that? And also with our people, we are so secretive about everything. How do the government let you handle that?
Well, so that is the thing. When you are the representative for the estate, it is your responsibility to gather that information or as much as possible. Now, the IRS does have records of any income that has come. There's transcripts that you can request from the IRS. So any pieces of paper that you get that are tax-related, a copy is also sent to the federal and the state. So the representative, you can go and get those records so that at least you can put together the return correctly.
Oh, okay. So you could use that as a baseline.
Yes. Assets, sometimes you have to go to county records and go do the legwork to see, you know, if there's a house owned, you know, how much they paid for it, and so you know what to do with it. So there's a lot of things that come after someone dies with the estate that they have to do. So like I said, you have the final return, and then you also have the estate return. If there's a house that maybe was willed to a family, if you guys sell it, you have to get the fair market value of the house. Because if you sell it, you get what's called step-up basis, meaning let's say your mother bought the house for $50,000 and now it's passed on to you, and now the value is $150,000. Now, normally, if you would have sold that house, you would have to pay the capital gains on that. But when the person dies, you actually get the fair market value of it at the time of death. So now your value is $150,000. And if you sold it for $150,000, then you have no capital gains to pay.
But if you sell it for $200,000.
If you sold it for $200,000, and then you would have capital gains to pay, but it would be divvied between all of the beneficiaries. So it would be equal, however the will was written for the part, you would give it between all the people, and each person would pay their portion of it.
Once again, we're up against the break. But I want to ask you, I know that MRS Tax Service is year-round. Why is that important, and how frequently should we interact with our tax preparer? I'll let you answer that on the other side of the break.
You're listening to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show, and Mr. Nay is going to tell you what you're listening to.
I would say the same thing. You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back over to Reverend Ray and our guest who has read all 2,652 pages of the tax code.
Okay. The question was, Ms. Renee, about the tax preparer.
Exactly. The tax service, MRS tax service is year-round. A lot of people put their shingles out around now, but you don't see them any other time of the year. So why is it important to have somebody like MRS tax that is around the entire year? And how frequently should we be interacting with our tax preparer? Just this season from January to April or more often?
More often. It depends on what you're doing. So if you're deciding that you want to pull money out of a 401k or an IRA account, talk to your preparer before so that you understand mm-hmm. what the tax ramifications will be. If you're going to buy a new house or if you're selling an asset, then you want to know what the tax ramifications are going to be. So don't wait to the end of the year and say, hey, I did this. You want to talk to your preparer before so you know, so that you can either put money aside so that you'll be able to pay the taxes when they're due. Because the worst thing to do is have to pay the IRS and then still pay them more money because you didn't pay it all at one time. So you should be, and if you change jobs or if you have a life-changing event, it's good to talk to your tax preparer because maybe you need to change your allowances at work on your W-4 form so they can pick up their appropriate taxes. So we offer paycheck checkups where we do it. You can do it biannually, so you can do it twice a year, where you can come in and we can put the information in from your pay stub and we can figure out if you need to withhold more money or are you withholding too much money and you can get more of it back now. So it's good to talk to your preparer about those kind of things.
From the standpoint of a tax preparer, as Ms. Renee said, getting to know your tax preparer almost like, I guess these days, like your doctor. Well, I don't know about doctors, but they ain't too friendly no more. But anyway, or a lawyer or something. Now, a married couple, is it important for them both to have the same tax person? Because I noticed that there's a lot of married couples, they have their own individual tax person. And so how do that, is that a plus for them or minus for a couple?
It should be a plus to have the same tax preparer. If they're not following joint, the first thing I always ask my clients, if they're not following joint, is what are the reasons that you're not following joint? Because there are some forms that you can file to protect the individual. So someone will say, well, my husband owns a lot of back taxes, and I don't want to have anything to do with that. Well, there are forms that we can add to the tax return to let the IRS know that you aren't responsible for your spouse's past tax history and that you're entitled to your refund. So you don't have to do them separate. Married filing separately is probably one of the worst filing statuses that a person can use. So we try to put them back together because if it's possible, it's better to file joint because married filing separately is you don't get a lot of the benefits. Some of the credits that are available, you're just not entitled to.
Wow.
Okay, well, obviously we need more than an hour of time with you, but tell us how to get in touch with MRS Taxes.
Okay, so we are available online at www.refundstogo.net. Our phone number is 202-391-0033, and we have three convenient locations. We have one in D.C. at 609 H Street. We have one in Largo, Maryland at 9701 Apollo Drive, and then we have one in Woodbridge, Virginia at 4000 Genesee.
Okay.
Y'all got the DMP covered.
Yes, we do.
Now, if a person has back taxes and they need some help, can you help with that kind of situation?
Yes, we do. We are partnered with a couple of individuals in this local area who do tax restoration. So, yes, we can definitely help you out.
restoration. So when we're fixing, when you're fixing taxes, when you're fixing past years, or if you have letters from the IRS.
Okay.
Well, I want to shift. I want to. I don't know, Reb. Did you have another question? Because I want to shift gears for a moment, but I want to make sure you get all your questions in. Okay. Well, early on at the beginning of our interview, you told us what you like best about your job. And so the question that I have to end our interview is, what lessons has your work life taught you? What lessons has your work life taught you?
It's taught me to, it's taught me, it teaches me to, I guess I do everything based on taxes. Like, I won't move until the end of the year, or I do a lot of things based on, like, taxes. It's weird. My friends say it's weird. But I do a lot of things. I look at things from that point of view all the time. Like, is it going to benefit me and my taxes, or is it going to hurt me? But I've learned to, I learned to listen to people. I've learned to, just everything has a tax purpose in life, everything that you do. And I just look at it from that perspective. It's really weird to probably be in my brain. But, yeah, everything is, I try to help people because people don't normally talk about taxes. But it's one of those things that you should probably talk about regularly with your spouse, with your friends and your parents, because you want to know where they are. Sometimes it's like that thing that people don't talk about. You're like, well, what did you do on your taxes? Because maybe it's something that you did that can help somebody else out. So taxes is a lot of information. And so when you talk about it, you understand things. And especially when you talk to a preparer, there are things out there that you just didn't know that you could do or was available to you. So
does MRS offer education classes?
Yes, we do offer education classes in the fall. That's kind of our little downtime, and we do offer education classes.
As Reverend pointed out, oftentimes in our community, there was not sufficient income to really talk about taxes other than paying them. And now we're talking about generational wealth, and so we want to talk about protecting assets. And because we don't have a long history of doing that, we need some education in that area. Rev, you were going to jump in and ask something?
Yeah. I was going to ask, when do you all start those classes? And how long are the classes, and where they're held at, and what's the cost of
them? They usually start in September, late September, early October. They're usually held either in our D.C. Location or our Virginia location. The cost, it ranges on what kind of course you want to take. So we do have informative courses. We have courses that people want to become tax preparers. So we have and then we have courses for business as well, for people who want to understand what they need for businesses. So we have all those kind of courses available.
Okay. Well, make a note of that, Ms. Renee. We're going to take some of those classes. That way I know what I need to cut my taxes on paying employees and stuff. And so,
I wonder if the 2,652 pages are on tape. You better start listening to them now. I have a final question, Rev. If you have another one, final question.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so Miss Yolanda, I'd like to ask you, is there any story from your work life that you can tell us about that either struck you as odd, interesting, or funny, that we can wrap up today with a story that stays in your mind because it was either unusual or funny or interesting?
You know what? I always get, it never fails, once a year, someone always wants to claim their pets. They always want to claim them. They're pets.
You mean,
it's like, my pet?
There's a problem with that?
As a dependent. As a dependent. They said, I want to claim my pet as a dependent.
And I was like, no, you can't do that. Well, they spent a lot of my money on food. I'm sorry. Unless you have your pet for medical reasons, there's no deduction.
That's like a child.
So that does raise the question of persons that have service animals and they have health plans and food and all of that. Are those items deductible?
They sure are. If they have a medical expense and they are using those service animals, they can. That money could go under the medical deductions under itemizing.
Wow.
So for my guy, though, that would go under.
That would go under your itemized deductions under medical for grooming and feeding. All of that will go there.
All right. Well, this has been very informative, Ms. Yolanda. Like I said, we've been remiss in not having you all on the show the last couple of years, but we will make sure that we will have a rotation running. And we're definitely going to put down that we're going to take some of those classes in September. And so thank you very much for being our guest. Thank you to Mr. Juror, Mr. Thorman. Tell him thank you for letting you off. Well, I know you ain't off. You're probably sitting there with some past returns right in front of you. But one thing that you said, so every financial decision you make, for you, it's a tax implication. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
It is.
Oh,
ask
wow.
my husband. I always say, well, how's this going to benefit all our taxes?
Oh, my. Okay, well, I'm glad he married you instead of me. Okay, so thank you, Ms. Yolanda.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you very much for being a guest. You've been a very good guest. All right, Mr. Day, anything before we wrap up the show?
Well, this has been so informative. And Ms. Yolanda,
yes,
he keeps saying we are going to take the classes. I'm not good at math, so I will bring him to the class, and I will wait for him. But I don't know that I would be a good candidate. It might set your teaching back too much. But, again, thank you for coming on and giving us much good information.
Yes.
Thank you.
All righty.
All
okay.
right, Rev. You're going to close us out
Alrighty.
With a
I
call to action?
All right. So our time is up. I thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Reverend Ray, and I like to say I might not have sight, but I can have vision, vision, vision. God bless and be blessed.
You have been listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. Email us at smvradioshow@gmail.com. Those are the letters SNVradioshow@gmail.com. Or call us at 301-377-6468. That's 301-377-6468. Want to listen to this show again or a past show? Type in the address bar, snvradio.com. That's snvradio.com. We thank you for your time, and we look for you next week.